My life outside of...
I'm probably going to hit you with the bear puns a couple times. Like, you know, bear with me here.
But yeah, I got those, and both of those skulls are going to end up being Pope and Young.
No way.
First, really? The biggest bear skull measured at 20 and 20.375. The small one measured at 19. And in order for me to be considered Pope and Young, I had to be 18 inches for a black bear.
Oh, then you hit it. You're well over it, man. And that's, I mean, have they been drying at all, or was
he already dried them?
They're dried. So and everything.
That's part of the cost as well.
Wow.
So it's like all that for $24.50. It's,
oh my gosh,
not bad at all.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome, man. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty special that you're in Pope and Young already on your first two bears. And it doesn't happen like that all the time. Like, you know, my one and only bear over there, I was just thrilled that I killed a black bear.
Oh, listen, I'm done hunting now.
Oh, you're done completely?
Yeah. I'm going to try to get a turkey. And then after that, I think I'm done.
You're just done?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I got
what else is there to do?
Exactly. Like, I guess go hunt woolly mammoth.
What about an elephant? That's about as close as you're going
to
get.
I don't think I could. I honestly don't think I could go out to Africa and do like a lion hunt, a giraffe hunt, or an elephant hunt. Now, maybe like a what's out there? Like a stag or...
Well, no, you got your like Cape buffalo. That's
I would maybe do a buffalo.
Hippos kill a lot of people.
I don't know if I could do a hippo.
I think I could do a hippo.
I like seeing the hippos. Like, I think hippos are cool.
Right.
But what's the one with Inyalas.
Impala?
No, Inyala.
Inyala. That's one I haven't looked up yet. I learned something new about hunting Africa every, well, a lot.
I don't know how to spell it, though. African animals.
Oh, gosh. You're going to get like 8 billion reviews from
Well, it would
Google
help
here.
If I could spell African and animals correctly.
Okay, well, while you're looking that up, I'll do the little intro here. What's going on, everybody? My name's Colton. This is The Hunt Story. Back again in the hot seat with the one and only Joey Myers.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Yeah. Great. That's going to be stuck in my head for the next 3 days.
You're welcome.
So, had Joey on here not too long ago, but we actually, you know, we want to know what happened. I put that picture up of you. I made those little like shorts and stuff. I put that picture up with the podcast. My cousin, who listens to like every episode, he texts me. He's like, "Who's the dude with the bear? I haven't heard the bear story yet." And I was like, "Oh, it's Joe." He's just like, "Well, I want to hear the bear story." I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I'll see if he's got anything going on." And then, like, I texted you, and you said, "You're like, yeah, let's get in and talk bears." I'm like, "Oh, perfect. He's already on board with this." So
I think if you would have just said, "Hey, come sit in my basement and chat with me," I wouldn't have said no.
It would have came up. The bear thing would have probably come up. So, well, awesome, man. So you just finished up a round of golf today. You know I love to golf. I did not get a text message. I'm a little upset. That's okay.
For everybody out there, he was working. I am off on Mondays. He was being a responsible adult, and he was working.
I don't know about the responsible part, but yeah. Even if you know how work is. You have to be there.
It was to golf this early in Ohio in
That's
March.
Awesome. Yeah.
March 3rd, right? March 4th.
Tam O'Shanter was open in February. I saw like four golf
carts.
That's
the one outside of...
like Hermitage. You're on 80 for 20 minutes from here, and you're there.
What's the one outside of Coitsville?
Knoll Run?
No, it's in PA.
There was Rolling Hills, and then there's Tanglewood.
Tanglewood's up for sale.
Uh-huh. I saw, is it still there for sale?
I saw a sign, because I took guns over Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a sign that said golf course for sale.
Dude, it's been up for sale a couple different times. I don't know if it's just like changes hands or whatnot, but
people probably go and buy it and then try to rejuvenize it. And then they go and try to turn around and sell it.
There is a beautiful little house across the street from them as well for sale. You could literally live on a golf course.
Is that the one with the trolley in the driveway?
No, but I mow that guy's grass.
Oh, okay. So, you know,
I know that guy.
I look at the trolley. I was like, that's cool. Every time I pass it.
Yeah, he's got a whole like limousine party bus service and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And he just has a trolley sitting out in his driveway.
Well, I mean, it's street legal and everything.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not like a like one that runs on the wires in cities. It's it's a van. I mean, technically. Well, no, it'd be more of a bus.
Now, do you need your CDL? for that?
That I don't know. I know that, like,
because I think limos, help. Don't you have to?
Wait a minute. I do know this. It's like 15 passengers or more.
You need
it's either class B or class A. So okay. I don't know offhand. I think if it's 14 or less or something like that, or can seat 14 or less, then I a think regular you're driver. Okay.
Yeah. See, that's why I want a minibus.
A minibus would be fun. Sure. But, I mean, it can only seat 14, you know?
That's fine.
I mean, I know how many girlfriends you have, and, like, I don't know if all of them are going to fit on there legally.
Oh, they would all fit because there's none.
Yeah.
So it would just be me in the driver's seat.
I'm just looking out for you here, man. I'm just looking out for your best interest.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Well, you're here to talk about this bear hunt, and you went on a killer bear hunt.
I did.
This past year, and you went with your bow. It was in Canada. You know, when you're talking, you know, there's a lot of archery hunters that listen to this. There's a lot of guys that have killed bears, have tried to kill bears, but you kind of went like above and beyond for this effort, and you made it happen. For someone who would be interested in going to Canada for anything, yeah. I mean, to hunt anything, you know, it might seem easy getting across the border, but, you know, I get nervous with customs. I get nervous with stuff like that. You know, what was the first few steps that you had to take to say, I'm going to go do this?
Honestly, flying with the bow was probably, it was one of the easier parts. Because to them, a bow is a piece of clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll open your case, make sure nothing's in there, and then they put it right back. They don't inspect it with a gun. Because I did bring my gun, because while I was up there, your hunting license was kind of like PA, where you bought your license and it fell into everything in the category. So it came with a bear tag, and then it came with a wolf and coyote tag as well.
Neat.
So at the same time, I was like, well, I kind of wouldn't mind getting a wolf. As much as, you know, some people were on the fence about it, and I think I asked you that question last time I was here.
In a heartbeat, I'd go after one of those.
I was going to say, would you?
Oh, in a heartbeat. I had the opportunity, yes.
Some people said no. They said they can't shoot a wolf because it resembles a dog too much. And I agree. Like, to an extent, they all, you know.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, having that ability to, you know, harvest a wolf would have been cool.
Oh,
so I brought my rifle. That was the hard part. You had to fill out a 2-page or 3-page like declaration that explained the rifle. You had to put manufacturer, model, serial number, caliber, barrel length, how many rounds it could hold, just everything.
Wow.
It felt like I was filling out a gun form to purchase this thing. And, you know, I get it. They have their gun rules versus, you know, the state's guns rules, and everybody's different.
What gun did you take?
308.
Okay.
And I planned on shooting the first bear I wanted to harvest with my bow.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've hunted for, whether it was my antelope, my white-tailed deer, I want to harvest with the bow.
Sure.
Outside of a turkey, which I want to get one first with a shotgun and then jump over to a bow as a challenge. You know, I was born and raised as a bow hunter. So
sure.
I want to try to get everything with that. Same deal with like an elk. I want to try to get one with a bow. And then after that, if I succeed, then, you know, if I get invited to go back out to do another one, I would say, hey, you know, rifle season is this time, you know, it's cheap or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so yeah, I mean, the bow was easy. Now, granted, I had the bow and the rifle in the same case, so they kind of had to inspect it. But like my buddy who just flew with his bow, he had locks. He said, yeah, there's a bow and arrow in there. Open the locks. TSA checked it. They put it in. You really didn't have to go through customs for it. Like when we went through customs to go back over, to get into Canada, they looked at it, of course, to see if anybody was smuggling and anything. And that was probably just more or less like your heavier duty luggage.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
But when we were coming back to the States, his case never got opened.
Oh, wow.
They just pushed it along. But like, My case got opened with the rifle and it's been inspected and
all
that
stuff.
Was it
harder coming back in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys in Canada that we dealt with, everybody could have a different experience depending on what airport you fly into, who's working that day. We dealt with two guys at our station who were super nice. Like They were funny, fun to talk to. They were actually like, they didn't seem rude.
Yeah.
Like you see these videos online of people going to TSA agents this and that, and they're treating them bad or they're treating them with attitude. These guys weren't. They kind of just were like talking to us. The one shot up when he was younger, he actually shot Olympic recurve.
Oh, no way.
And he said, he's like, I used to compete. He's like, I got out of it because I just didn't have much time anymore. So we were just talking about that and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool to talk to those guys about that. But yeah, I mean, flying into Canada was, I guess the flying in and dealing with them was the easy part. Now, when we got to the airport, I mean, it's like any, Toronto is a huge airport.
Yeah. That's
so a like big one. Have you ever been to Toronto?
Yep.
So, I mean, we walked in there and it's, I think their airport's like 3 stories tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, your luggage, they don't tell you where the luggage is going. So we have all our hunting gear was sent to a separate wing. And we're standing there and we're asking this guy, we paid some guy to, you know, bring the cart and whatever and kind of walk us around. And we're like, where's our stuff? Like, I'm missing my gun and bow. My buddy Alex is missing his bow. The other guy we're all missing our stuff.
And you're on a time limit here too, because you got to be somewhere.
Get to our next connecting flight. Mm-hmm. And we're like, where the hell is our stuff at? And the guy's like, well, we'll wait. And everybody's leaving, picking their stuff up. He's like, well, let me walk down here. Not there. And so then he just was like, well, we'll go ask the help desk or whatever. We asked the help desk and they're like, oh, your luggage went to a secure location that you have to go physically provide identification for to pick it up to get it inspected.
Oh, gosh.
So then we had to go from like part A of the wing all the way down to like, I think we were in we got dropped into section A and I think our luggage went to like section E.
Oh, God.
And it's not like a quick walk, like a couple rows crowded down.
Airport. Yeah.
It's half a mile to 3/4 of a mile mm-hmm. down on the opposite end of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So our stuff was sitting there and then we walked over to the gates and they opened up the cases, took the gun out, read the serial number, made sure. Then they did that. Then they put on my duffel bag because I had all my camo in there, but flying out of the country compared to in the country. So like when I flew down to Florida to go Osceola hunting, you could fly with the ammo in the case.
Okay.
With your gun. It just had to be like packaged up.
Yeah. It has to be somewhat sealed secure, away or something. Yeah.
So when I was reading all the rules, they didn't say anything about it being different. So when we flew into Canada, or before we got to the airport, they were like, okay, you can't have your ammo with your firearm and bow.
Okay.
So then I had to throw it into my suitcase, which was my duffel bag with all my camo in it.
That wasn't your carry-on, right? That was
I had a backpack as a carry-on. Okay. So I had a duffel bag with like some plain Jane clothing because they told us to dress for all weather pretty much whether it was snowing, sunny, and then I had a duffel bag with every piece of camo first light that I own. So I did that, but yeah, I had the ammo and that, so they had to open that up, then slap some paperwork in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, flying into Canada with everything wasn't awful because once we got through there, they kept everything. Then they put it on, made sure it got to the plane, which was pretty nice. Like they did everything for us. And then all we had to do was go through, find our next plane, sit there and wait. It was kind of cool though. When we landed, we had to go up to like this center console or like this, just an iPad. Like if you were walking to a store and you fill out like a questionnaire thing to get like 10% off or something like that.
Right.
And it was like asking what you were doing in Canada, giving you all the rundown of like, you can bring this much back in tobacco. You can bring this much back in alcohol.
Yeah. You said that earlier and that struck me as interesting.
And it was really cool. Cause like I wasn't planning on bringing anything back. Now, granted, my uncle likes his bourbon and whatnot. So he was like, hey, when you go to the, duty free store, like see what they have there. Give me a call.
Canadian whiskey.
Yeah, and he's like, see if they got anything rare that we can't get in the States, and I'll have you buy it, and then I'll pay you when you get back. There was nothing there that he wanted, but then it also like asked how many days are you going to be there, like stuff like that. So it was, and then you had to go up to a guy after you completed it, sitting in a little booth and handed him your ID, and he starts asking you the same questions. I'm like, I just got done answering those.
Yeah, like, you need me to answer this again? I hate that.
But
I'm trying to catch you. Well, I mean, they're doing their job. I get it.
But I mean, he was pretty nice about it, and everybody in Canada was like super, at least like in the airport. And then when we flew to the second airport and landed and whatnot, they were super helpful.
Cool.
I didn't run into like a bad apple up there. Granted, I mean, maybe I caught the TSA agents on a good day. Who the hell knows?
This guy seems innocent.
But no, I mean, flying in wasn't awful at all. You know, good flights. Airports were pretty good, stuff like that.
Cool. So, I mean, you know, if somebody was to want to book a flight or a bear hunt up there, take a gun, take a bow, whatever it is, I mean, you can essentially just go to the airport with this stuff, right? Yeah. And they kind of walk you through it. I mean, everybody that I've talked to that has flown with a gun, they say, you know, you go up to the, to whatever, you know,
your check-in counter.
Yeah, your check-in counter. And you tell them, hey, I have a firearm in this case, and, you know, I need to fly with this. Mm-hmm. And they walk you through everything. And I've heard it's actually a lot easier than people claim it to be. Now I know where you're getting at with this story coming back to the States. It's probably a little bit more intimidating.
It was. I mean, like, you stand in this line and they'll basically call you. So they have like your case information and they say, okay, next. And they take you in by like group. Mm-hmm. And then they sit you across the wall, like just a brick wall in mm-hmm. chairs. You can't have your phone out. You can't do this. You can't eat. You can't drink.
Wow.
And you sit there and somebody is standing at a counter and they're looking through paperwork. And then they go, okay, Joseph Myers, step to the counter. And you stand up like you are getting ready to go to court. Stand up, walk over to the counter. They go, what are you doing coming back? Okay. Is there anything you want to declare? Yeah, I got a firearm in there. Okay. Open it up. Make sure nothing's in there, like illegal, which I get, you know, they're doing their job. But
doing
their
the job.
U.S. Yeah. agents had like a more of a demeanor to them than what the Canadian agents did. They were like, okay, a little bit lax and more, you know, talkative and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that. And that, to me, it does make sense. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of gun guys out there to where it's you know, frustrating that we're just trying to go on a hunt and do our part. But God, man, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, the country was brought to its knees by a couple box cutters. So yeah. Well, hey, they were doing their job. Well, cool. Okay, so what guide service were you with?
McKinnon Company.
McKinnon Company.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then what part of Canada?
So we were north of Edmonton by 2 hours in a small town called, why am I drawing a blank on it? Well, I hunted in a town called Wabeska. Okay. That's where I hunted, but like their lodge was about 2 hours north of Edmonton. So we flew into Edmonton. We stayed the night at a hotel right near the airport, which is actually a pretty nice hotel. They had a nice restaurant in there. And then the outfit would come in the morning and pick us up, drive us up there. And then we would have a small lunch. And then from there, we would go right into hunting. Like, he would sit us down, go over instruction, you know, policies and stuff like that with the outfitter, tell us what he wants us to do, what he expects us. And outside of that, he said, okay, go get dressed. And by 2 o'clock we were dressed and meeting our guides, which my guides were freaking amazing.
It's 2 in the afternoon or
in the afternoon. And then the city we were in was Calling Lake, Canada. So it's Alberta per se is the, but it was 2 hour north of Edmonton and it was called Calling Lake.
Okay.
We were right, like, their lodge is right on the water. One of the better, according to them, the water they are on is like the best, one of the better fishing spots in town.
Nice.
So it's a, that area was more of like a tribal.
Okay.
A lot of like Indian preserves, stuff like that. Stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm into that stuff, man. That's,
Didn't get to see like much of it, but like when we were driving, like my guides, would point out like, oh, that, see this part of the town or mm-hmm. that street, this is all like tribal stuff and right. stuff like that, which was kind of cool to be in.
Are they kind of like reserves like we have here, like reservations, or is it
it was like a normal neighborhood, but okay. you could tell like there's a couple of people outside that you could tell, like the one guy guide was a native.
That's cool. Yeah. Very cool, man. When we were in Maine going after bears up there, it was really similar. I mean, we went with a big group, and I want to say we had, I want to say like 8 hunters, and then we had 4 trappers, and we killed a ton of bears, but it was very similar. We got there one day and you're going hunting the next day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a nice camp set up for us. There was a ton of us sleeping in this little camp, and it was a blast. I mean, just up playing cards all night and having a good time. And then, up the next day and everybody's going hunting. And a lot of the hunters, the guide even said, you know, to hunt afternoons. Like he said, you got a better chance. You know, I think he said a huge percentage of bears are killed in the afternoon. So most of people just slept in, but a few went out early morning. And my gosh, dude, seeing bears up there is like, it's no big deal. Around no. here, you see a bear, like you tell everybody. It's and like exciting.
Everybody picks it up on the news, and uh-huh. it's like seeing God walk across water.
Exactly. When I was in Clarion, they had a couple bears that they had to tranquilize on campus. And it was like, you know, that's pretty cool. But, that's, you just kind of get up into that mountainous area. That's where the bear countries are at, man. Those old caves and whatnot, they're there. But yeah. That's awesome, man. So, okay. So you're at this, you're at the camp mm-hmm. and you're getting ready to go out 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Taking the bow. You're going to go kill. Did you get a chance to shoot your bow at all before you went?
Yeah. So when we got there, so they picked us up, I think at 8 at the hotel, and it was about a 2.5-hour drive. So by the time we got in, it was about 10:30, 11:00 ish.
Okay.
They sat us down, did their policies, and then they're like, oh, lunch will be ready about 12:30-ish, and then we had about an hour between 1 and 2. So I went outside and shot, I think, 10 or 15 arrows just to make sure, you know, nothing got loosed, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I was only planning on shooting anything within 30 yards.
Yeah.
But I was still good out to 40. I just felt more confident as a shooter at 30 yards and in. So, yeah, got that. And then I think I got dressed, and I think the first day I wore my bibs the whole time just because the bibs were comfier, and I was like, I'd rather overdress a little bit than underdress.
Habit, yeah.
But like I packed like I was camping out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this jacket, that jacket. I actually brought my camera out the first day. I think I brought my camera out. And when I was up there, I kind of was like, well, when I shot my antelope, I shot it within the first 6 hours. And I was like, you know, I don't want to do that on this. I want to take my time. I want to see what I'm hunting, like what I'm doing out here. So I still brought my bow, and I was like, if a giant walks in, I'm of course going to shoot it.
Sure.
But I kind of just want to experience it. So I kind of just sat back and just was one with nature.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the quiet.
All the stress of flying, getting exactly. everything there, getting settled in, and you finally make it to your spot. You just need a minute.
And no. I just wanted to watch the bears.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what they did, how they played, how they reenacted with each other, like one chasing another up a tree, stuff like that.
Aren't they fascinating?
They are just like little fur balls of energy.
Yeah. The little ones especially. I've seen, you know, little ones interact with their mothers, like a mother and cubs. And it's just like you said, they're like little puppies.
Exactly.
They yeah. look like little dogs.
And they don't around. Stop.
Yeah. They're like, constant.
They one could get smacked and then be like, and then next thing you know,
right,
they're
back at it.
It's like watching mm-hmm. squirrels in Ohio running around and jumping off of trees and chasing each other.
Yeah, did I tell you last time that I got a family of black squirrels living back here? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't tell anyone this, but I did miss one the other day.
Well, you just told everybody.
Yeah, I know. Now everyone's going to be like, oh, where'd it go? But
this guy has a podcast about hunting. He can't even shoot anything.
Well, okay. In my defense, it was coming up, wrapping up small game here in Ohio. I put the orange hat and vest on. in my kitchen. Slid the window up. And he was bolting. I think he heard the window go up and he was bolting. I took a shot with the pellet gun. I was like, oh, damn it. So
but yeah, I just sat there the first day and experienced it, and just wanted to see how they acted, and you know, just watching them was super neat. And I even told the guide, he's like, did you see anything? I said, yeah, I saw stuff. He's like, and you didn't text me that you shot anything? I was like, I just wanted to enjoy it. I said, if I screwed my chances up of hunting, this is a learning experience. And
it's respectable, man.
And I so then the second day came out, and that's, we were out, I probably shot the first one at 8 o'clock, or I shot the first one at, well, we got down to take photos with it at 8:50, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
But I probably shot that first one an hour and a half before. But up there, it's like sparse with service.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have service. And I was mm-hmm. lucky enough to where I was at to get one bar.
Mm-hmm.
But like up on the road, you know, and my guide would, he would drive and had service, not have service. And he would tell me, he's like, if just text me, I'll get it. You know, just sit there. Don't get down. So I shot the first one and I texted him. I was like, I shot one. I was like, I don't know where it ran to. I heard the moan.
Did you hear the death growl?
Yeah. That is, luckily this one was during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, it's not as creepy.
Oh yeah. But you're hearing them at night.
The second one I shot, it was creepy.
Yeah.
It was scary at the same time. It wasn't, because I was used to that sound already. Well, right. Not used to it, I would say, but I was used to at least hearing it because I already had one from the first.
Right.
But yeah, my guide comes, he rode the four wheeler in and we're about 50 yards from each other, and I'm still up in the stand because I didn't want to, you know, get down and be at the stand with him not telling me to.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to wait for, you know, what he said. So he comes in and he's pumping his fist up in the air. He's jumping. He's like, oh yeah, bud. Good job, Joe. Let's go, Joe. Yeah, bud. And I'm like, let's go, Noof. Let's go. And he's like, where'd it go? I'm like, I don't know. So we jumped down. We found my arrow. And we start looking. And right where I shot it, and like, I'm sure most of your listeners are what, like Ohio-related PA?
Oh, dude, we're all over.
So, I mean, this would be like, imagine like tall sage, not sage grass, like tall crabgrass with like cattails. Just something that is full overgrown.
Looks like a jungle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was hunting in hardwoods, but the bear ran right to the thick stuff. And
does it get kind of swampy down in there?
It wasn't where we were. Actually, I didn't hunt anywhere that was super like swampy. Like I had my muck boots on and all that, but I didn't have to worry about like going knee deep into crap. That was the one nice thing. There were some areas where like we were hunting where we had to get through stuff, but we were on the four-wheeler, so it really didn't matter. But like we ended up finding that bear. It was actually tucked up underneath some brush.
Yep.
It's
kind of like a deer. I mean, they run downhill, they bury themselves, and
he was tucked up underneath a branch, and brush was on his backside and the branch was on his front side. So, I mean, we're walking through the sticks and we're walking over sticks and, you know, it's like, we could have passed him and thought he was just a big log.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming right. I think I came right around and I ended up seeing his one paw was actually over the stick.
Awesome.
And I was like, well, that doesn't look right.
Wait a second.
And we went up, I screamed over to Noof and I'm like, I think it's right here. And he's like, he turns around, grabs a stick and goes, starts poking it. I'm like, he's like, it's dead, bud. It's dead. I'm like, wow. Oh yeah, let's go. And he's from, I mean, all these guys are awesome. He's from Newfoundland. Yeah. But his first name's Charlie. So they just call him.
I don't know why that was funny.
They just call him Noof.
Noof. I like
and,
Noof.
But he was such a hoot, and his thing was fist pumps. He would just move his hands like this, straight up and down. He looked like the Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Dude, isn't it fun when you get a guide that's like just as excited as you are?
He was a blast. And
awesome.
He was like, And I could just Stoltz picture him running down, and he'd be like, "Let's go, bud. Let's go get them bears."
Did he ever say A? Did he say A?
Oh, he said A all the time. And I mean, there was a bunch of guides, and the other one was Seth, who was the second guide I had. So up there, they had 8 hunters, 4 guides, two guides or 2 hunters per guide.
Yeah,
and I was hunting with a girl who was actually there for her first time. Her father's been there. Her father brought her this time, and she just was in our group. She was struggling to see bears. They would put me in stands that she was in, and I'd see bears, and they would vice versa. She would go in stands I was in where I was seeing bears, and she just couldn't see bears. They don't know what, like, it just
could have been anything. Could have been a number of things. Yeah.
So they threw her in one, and she was hunting with a gun, and she took a shot at one, didn't hit it. And then the last day, he's like, "Joe, I'm pushing you off." He's like, "You already shot one." I was like, "I don't care." I'm like, I'm the type of hunter that when I go out, you know, squirrel hunting, if I get 2 squirrels, and I'm rather push other people.
I'd rather see someone else. Yeah.
Same. So I was like, that's fine. I was like, I'll go sit somewhere else. And that's when I did the 2 wolf hunts. He was like, "Do you care?" I'm like, "No." So I go throw me in a blind somewhere. So, you know, I shot mine, and I actually ended up the night before I went in the blind, when I was like, okay, I'm not going to really shoot anything if I see something, unless I see like a color phase bear, then I was like, okay, maybe I'll take a poke at it if it's a boar and whatnot.
Sorry, my dogs are running upstairs after something. Probably something really good.
Or something like vice, or like if I saw a wolf, I would. Right. But so I ended up downloading a couple movies. And
just chilling in the stand watching movies.
I brought my headphones in, and I just sat there, leaned up my feet, had my feet down there, and I just sat there. I watched Catch Me If You Can. I watched if anybody has HBO Max, I watched the rest of the series of The Titans.
Oh, nice.
And okay. I watched a couple shows on Netflix, Not Designated Survivor, The Night Agent. There was another one. I can picture it, but I can't remember the name of it. So I was just watching, you know, stuff. Sure, and I didn't see any wolves up there, but I saw a chocolate bear, and I saw a was kind of a
cinnamon
pine tar.
Oh, a pine marten.
Pine marten, yes. Yeah. I don't know why I said, I'm thinking baseball terms.
I don't know
terms.
Why you said that either.
I'm thinking of baseball terms.
I don't know why I knew what you meant.
But yeah, I saw a pine marten. This thing was just crawling over, aren't jumping on the trees. And I texted the guy, and I was like, "Do you guys have wolverines up here?" Because I didn't know what they had up here. And he goes, "No, why?" I said, "There's a wolverine right in front of me." He goes, "Oh, that's a pine marten.
That's a pine marten,
He's like, "You should have shot that thing, bud."
Really? Could you have gotten, like, you could have got that?
Or he's like, "You should have texted me." He said, I shouldn't have, because I didn't have anything for it, but he did.
I was going to say, and that's probably like, a fur taker's license.
He was like, "You should have texted me, because I have my fur taker's license," but he's like, "I would have came up and just shot that thing."
That's awesome.
I'm like, well, I was like, maybe
he's here.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
But well,
up there, they got pine martens, they got fisher. It's all up there. They got fisher.
I didn't see any fishers. We saw a bunch of otter or beavers, because they use beavers out there to bait and all that stuff.
The caster? The beaver caster? Is that what you mean?
No, they use the physical beaver, and what they'll do is they'll hang it. They'll cut the beavers in half.
Really?
And they'll hang half a beaver, and then they
as bait,
yeah.
And for a bear.
Yes.
No shit.
And they'll hang it up high, and they'll tell you in the stand you're in, "Hey, the beaver is 7 foot."
Okay.
If a bear can touch it, then you know it's a big bear.
It's a big bear.
If it can't touch it, if it has to climb, if it has to jump, don't shoot it.
They're so hard to judge. If you're not used to seeing them every day, they are so hard to judge.
And that was the other thing too. Like when I explained when I wanted to see what they were like, that's what I want. I wanted to tell. Can I picture out a boar? Am I only going to know what a sow looks like?
Right.
And I did. I mean, I did pretty good. I pictured out 2 boars. But like, they tell you to look for this, they tell you to look for that. And I'm like, what the hell am I, like, you guys say this like it's looking at white-tailed deer and looking for antlers. It's not that, like, granted, there's doing this a month and a half out of the year, but they know what they're doing. They're taking,
they're prepping
40 people out, and they know these bears.
They're prepping their trail cameras, the stands.
They actually don't use trail cameras.
Really?
They said the bears go after the trail cameras. They said it doesn't matter what they put them in. They will put them in the security boxes, and the bears will get
destroyed.
And destroy them.
No,
so they
shit.
Said they don't do any trail cameras.
Wow.
They do everything by bait sites and just knowledge of what's in those woods.
I can barely believe that.
I asked them because I said, do you guys have any photos? Because so like going off of that, the second bear. So after everything, I shot my first bear the second night. The second night.
Okay.
The second bear I shot the last night able to hunt.
Yes.
And like I said, they were kind of just throwing me out in the woods because they didn't want me sitting at the lodge for 8 hours by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the lake wasn't open to fish because the lake had a season.
Okay.
So if the lake was open to fishing, I'm sure they would have like, if you want to fish, sure they wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
So they were just throwing me out into these tree stands. Well, they put me into a tree stand that they knew there was a big bear there.
Mm-hmm.
And this bear has been terrorizing people there for 5 or 6 years.
No way.
The outfit is supported or sponsored by Kuyu.
Nice.
So they have a deal with Kuyu. Well, the Kuyu, I think it was the founder.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody in part of Kuyu that committed suicide.
Oh,
this shit. Was years ago.
Oh,
I
wow.
want to say it may have been like a CEO or founder.
Damn.
I know it was Kuyu and I know it was them because that's what they told me. And he was actually in that tree stand.
Oh, weird.
And he said he was hunting that tree stand and a big bear came and just terrorized him. Like started climbing up the tree, not leaving
going
him alone,
after,
going after
giving
him.
Giving him a hard time.
So he ended up having a satellite phone. So he was able to just call right out and he called the lodge and was like, come get me. He's like, there's a bear, it's not leaving me alone. He's like, I can't get a shot on it. He's like, but it's just terrorizing me and I'm done.
Yeah.
So the owner of the lodge, he ended up hunting that stand multiple times trying to get this bear out because he's like, I can't have a bear terrorize.
Yeah, if it's on like an ongoing thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, I don't need this to keep happening to clients. He's like, that's gonna either A, drive clients out of here quicker. And he's like, and then that makes me lose a spot.
Yeah.
So they were like, the owner never ended up getting him.
Hmm.
And they were like, we're going to throw you there. I was like, oh, great. I was like,
well. Let's throw the young kid out there.
So they put me there and they said, if you see him and he gives you a shot, shoot him. They were like, we know it. There's a big bear back here. Cause they got the signs and all that of the scratch marks and the tracks. And they told me that backstory. So I was like, okay. So I'm sitting there and same deal. I had movies downloaded to my phone and Band of Brothers was another one I watched.
Everybody should watch that.
So I ended up watching that and it's going and up there you hunt till I think I was in the woods till 10.
Okay.
And it was still sun daylight out.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, sorry, 9:30 it was still daylight out. And 9:30 rolls around and I'm seeing nothing and my guides are Seth is texting me now and I'm texting Noof to see if him and the girl got anything. And she ended up shooting one that night as well.
Cool.
But I didn't know that yet. And I'm texting Seth. He's like, you seen anything? But I was like, no. He's like, okay, well, I'll start heading your way. I'll sit at the end of the road and I'll give another, like when I get there, I'll give like 10, 15 minutes. And then you'll start hearing me when you hear the four wheeler.
Yep.
It's like, okay, cool. It is what it is. I got my headlamp. I got my flashlight. I was like,
We're good.
I was like, I got my granola bars. If he takes a little longer, who cares? So anyways, I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden I hear. I'm like.
Here he comes.
Like, okay. So he comes from my left. And I'm a right-handed shooter for everybody. So, you know, I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work out. And he comes from my left. And he's just barreling right to the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Where they put, you know, their bait on. And I'm just sitting there and this sucker was huge. I mean, the barrel's as tall as your table.
Yeah.
And he was able just to sit down. He didn't have to like lift his head up. He was able just to sit down and slouch. And you could just see his body fat go from his stomach to like rise up a little bit because he just slouched.
Wow. Yeah.
And he just sat there and grabbed his arm and like made a C out of his forearm and just
started eating.
Just brought it all to him. He didn't have to lean over. He didn't knock over the barrel like most of these other bears did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, that's a big bear. So the night continues, and you know, we're sitting there, and I'm trying to make noise.
What, you didn't want to shoot him?
Well, so I didn't want to shoot him because it would have made me, I didn't want to shoot another bear if it wasn't this big one.
Okay.
That was the thing. I didn't want to shoot, as much as it sounds like I was a trophy hunter, there was a reason. I didn't feel like paying another.
You got your bear. Yeah.
I got my bear, and I didn't want to pay an extra $1,000.
Right.
If it was going to be a bear of the same size or smaller bear. Because, you know, there was guys in camp that my buddy didn't get a bear. Mm-hmm. He shot at one, hit a little high on the bear, and they just never found it. It ended up getting killed the following week by another hunter. Okay. So they did find it, but, and I was like, I don't want to be, I'm not that type of guy to be, get too bears and rub it in, right, especially to my best friend. But he was cool about it, and like he wants to go back up there. So anyways, I was like, well, if this big one comes in, that's the only like stipulation, I will do that. But if, you know, if it's a same size bear, I'm not gonna waste $1,000 on.
I mean, it sounds thus far in the story that like that's the big one, if not that a was, huge one.
So that was the big one.
Yeah.
So the bear ends up getting up. I start clapping. I'm rubbing my boots on the grate, just trying to make noise. Cause it's, I'm texting the guy and we both have service. I think he may have pulled over, and I'm like, Seth, it's not moving. He's like, start screaming at it. I'm like, I am. I'm like, I'm clapping. Yeah. I'm saying, hey, 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 you know, rubbing my boots, clicking my boots. I'm
doesn't
like,
give a shit.
It could have cared less. I could have chucked a branch at it.
I've heard this from multiple sources that bears like, they tolerate you being there. They know do. You're there.
They do.
Yeah.
It would just be like, you know, whitetails. If, I mean, whitetails are a little bit more skittish, but if you have corn there, mm-hmm. they know you're there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not stupid. These animals aren't stupid.
Yeah.
And so it ended up getting up. I didn't get it up by making noise. It just ended up getting up and turning around. Mm-hmm. Started walking out the way it came in.
Okay.
Well, there was two trees about 4.5 feet apart, and they were 20 yards. And I'm like, okay, well, that's the best shot I have. They were straight on shot. He ended up stopping right in between both those trees.
Oh boy.
I ended up stopping him, drew my bow back, and I couldn't see his head. Okay. But the spot on the mark where they tell you to shoot bears was wide open.
Which, okay, looking at a deer, just for reference, you know, you want to go right behind the shoulder, hard shot, long shot.
So
with a bear,
you want to go back from the front shoulder. Yes.
Yeah.
The way they explained it to me, you take your front shoulder, mm-hmm. roll your front shoulder over again.
And that's where you put it.
Kind of. Yeah, okay. There's like a crease. They said you could kind of see where the crease, because the front shoulder kind of goes up and in instead of a deer where it's kind of like straight up.
Yep.
And they're like, kind of take that crease. And if you could see the crease, I wanted to tell them, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Right.
Because like I said, it's, we see whitetails, we know what whitetails,
we know what we have to do. Mm-hmm.
They see bears, they know what they're talking about. But when you tell somebody, I had photos on my phone, and I felt like I was in back in high school basketball watching film. I had photos of like where to aim. I had photos of guys on YouTube like explaining it. I'm like watching it the night before. I'm like, okay, I remember this play. So I'm up in the stand. I draw back 20 yards. I whistle at all my animals for some reason.
Really? You don't do the meh?
No. Deer, my first buck I shot, I go, and it looks so same, really? same deal.
Huh. That's interesting.
Draw back and I anchor and I go, and the bear stops in between those two trees, send the arrow right through it.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay. And it just ran. So bigger bear, it ran farther than the smaller bear. Of course it would.
Well, sure.
Got more energy, more,
more ass behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. More ass behind it. And, more adrenaline. I couldn't think of that word. So it dropped, and I'm thinking, and it didn't make the noise yet. I'm like, or I didn't know it dropped because it ran and it was thick. Yeah. This was like briar patches and all and thick, fine. Like thick twig stuff. So it wasn't
drag him out of there.
Exactly. Well, that's a story in itself. So I didn't hear it fall because they're not literally like whitetails. When they fall, they crash.
It's not a crash.
It's like they kind of just dig themselves and then they slide. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, a couple minutes go by and I'm thinking, and then all of a sudden you hear it go.
Rawr. Awesome. Rawr. I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking, but at the same time, you're like, okay,
well, I did what I had to do. Like, they told you, they're like, you hear that? That's a dead bear.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And that kind of gives you a vote of confidence. Like, okay, I did the job. I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's being put out the correct way. It's not like I shot it in the ass and
you have to track it and then put another one in it. And yeah. Then.
So yeah, I mean, we went and it did that. I texted the guy. I was like, I shot it. So he comes out and he had the same demeanor. They all did. They all were jokesters. They all liked the drink and stuff like that. And I drank one night and I drank way too much. But up there,
you're supposed to do that though, Joey. Well, don't
but the
don't
people I was with don't really drink. Like my buddy and Al, me and Alex, we drank a lot. Or I wouldn't say we drink a lot, but we do drink.
We drink a lot.
But those guys up there, like, drinking to them is like water.
Oh, they're kind of like, yeah, I've noticed that.
They're like, Canada. They're like glorified alcoholics, but they aren't.
But they get it done, you know?
Yeah. Like, they drink and they still work perfect. They wake up at 5 in the morning, get their job done.
They're functioning alcoholics. I woke up for them. Wow.
But like, they were awesome. And I had a little bit too much to drink, but I also wasn't. I didn't eat anything, so I did. I did get
twice as hard.
Yeah, so I did get sick, and I ended up leaving dinner early, and I had to, you know, go puke out or upstairs in the bathroom. But I also wasn't feeling good that day, so I don't know if I had like food poisoning from something or if I got sick from that. Yeah, but we'll chalk it up as food poison. But anyways, so Seth comes in. And he's like, where'd it go? I'm like, to the left. He's like, you son of a bitch. He's like, that's the thick stuff over there. I'm like, sorry, let me just take out the remote control and tell the bear to zig back this way real quick. So we start going through and we're looking and it's pitch black. By the time he showed up, it's 10:30.
Oh, so it's dark.
So it's dark. It's pitch black. Like this bear could be still alive, curled up and just waiting to see what could walk. And you know, we have our flashlights, but we don't have like a UV light. They don't use anything, or at least they didn't. So, you know, we walk in and we're walking and this bear is just kind of fold open. Like, you know how when you go to pet a dog and it lays on its back. It kind of did that. It tripped over a branch and it kind of just was laying there like this. I'm like, and he walked up. He's like, Joe,
that's a big bear.
Big bear. Wow. He's like, I'm like, well, is this the one? He's like, I think this is the one.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the bear. So, and he's like, but I hate you right now. I'm like, why?
Get this out of here.
He's like, yeah, exactly. He's like, I got to get this out of here. And the four-wheeler is 50 yards back that way. Dude. And the four-wheelers ain't not coming through here.
So you got to drag the... Okay, so what did he weigh?
So they really didn't do... They didn't have like weigh stations. They didn't hang them, which I kind of wish they did. But at the same time, like... They can tell what a bear weighs, roughly.
Just by looking at
it. So the first bear weighed 180.
Okay.
Which they said, good spring bear, solid spring bear, nothing to, you know. The second bear was over 300.
Wow.
And they said that was the big bear. They were like, we could tell. I mean, this thing was 8 feet long, 300 and some pounds. Like, it was a big boy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we start dragging it, trying to at least. And then we got
the drag. Dude.
I think we got like five or 10 yards. And he's like, screw this. So he ended up getting the four wheeler and he's just running over little twigs and everything. And we got to the four wheeler and, or we got to maybe like 15 yards from it. He's like, I'm just going to use the winch.
Yeah. Oh
so my gosh. We wenched up a foot.
That's what they're for.
And we start pulling it and the bear all of a sudden lays just open up and starts bringing everything with it.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, that's not going to work. So we got it up to a tree and then we put wenched the four wheeler up to a tree and had the top of the four wheeler.
Oh, he's showing me a picture right now or a video. I'm sorry.
So there's the bear.
Oh my God.
That's what. So we So I know you really can't. Nobody can see this outside of Colton.
Hey, there's you.
And so we're sitting there, and he's like, "I'm just gonna winch this four wheeler up into the tree, bud." I go, like, send it back. It's like, whatever you want to do.
You're the guy here. You're so the expert.
We winch the four wheeler up, and it's at a 70 degree angle, maybe.
Okay.
To where he's like, "This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna push it, and I'm gonna reach and start hitting the winch to loosen itself up to bring the four-wheeler back down." He's like, "It's just going to throw the bear on it."
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was like,
it's either going to be like it's just not going to work or it's going to be perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. He's like, "So get ready to lift." I'm like, shit. So I'm underneath the bear's back pretty much, and I'm grabbing it like you would grab, like, you know, a box. Like if you were lifting a box with somebody,
lift
or
with
like
the back, not with the exactly, knees. Exactly. Yeah.
But your hands are underneath and I'm grabbing something to lift with somebody. And he's next to me and he's like, "You ready?" I said, "Sure." He pushes it. We start moving, roll it right on the top.
Perfect.
He's like, "That's how we do it." So then he's like, "Now it's about time to get out of here." Well, as we just got that done, Noof and the girl he was taken care of were on their way, because they didn't hear from us, because we were like hunting in the same area.
Yeah.
But they didn't hear from us. And I tried calling out and the service just wasn't working right. Yep. And he tried calling out. I ended up getting a hold of the girl. And my text went through and I was like, I shot one, and then I couldn't get another text to go through. So they ended up just coming and they rolled in and they got a bear on the back of their four wheeler. We got one on the back of my four wheeler, you know, everything's going good. We're riding down the trail and then they're like, "Oh shit, how are we getting them back in the truck?
We gotta get this in the truck now."
Because the one had an old school Ford.
Okay.
Single cabs, three on the floor.
No way.
And
that's cool.
And that's what he used to guide in. So he had the four wheeler in the back, and then the other one had a Chevy with a flatbed on the back.
Okay.
And he's like, "Well, we'll put that four wheeler there. And we'll put the bears just thrown up in here on one side of the four-wheeler. We'll put Joey's crap and her crap on the other side of the four-wheeler. And then we'll use the other truck." So that's what we did. Right. We ended up just throwing everything in there.
Yeah.
And then we had four people in his single cab. Because her dad came along to see the bear she shot.
Oh, that's awesome.
So everybody's like this.
Yeah. Everyone's riding on top of each other.
But yeah, so like we went back and the owner doesn't. He guides, I think, but he didn't guide any of the bears, at least that week we were there, but his son does.
Okay.
So the owner came out. He goes, "Yeah, that's the big one."
There he is.
He's like, "Good job."
Did any of the bears have a white patch on their chest?
So this one didn't have a white patch on its chest, but it had a gray patch
Interesting.
In the center of the skull.
Okay.
So cool. It was like a light gray patch, but and that was another clue they said. They said, if you see a light gray patch on the bear, shoot it. On that bear.
Okay.
That
bear specifically. Yeah. Gotcha.
So they knew like what this bear looked like.
They had him pinned.
Exactly. Yeah. They just knew of him, where at, stuff like that.
Wow.
So yeah, we ended up getting it back. And then they do pictures in the morning, because by the time you get back, you're – I don't think I got back into the place until 1 that morning. And then we didn't hunt the next day, but they drove us back to the original hotel, because then we flew out the next morning.
Okay.
And
you flew out of Canada the next morning. You killed that bear that night. So
no, I shot the bear the last night of hunting, but we had one more day at the lodge, which was, you know, your cleanup day. They gave you breakfast and lunch.
Cool.
And then they drove you, I think, after lunch back to either the airport if you were flying out that night, or the hotel.
Gotcha.
Well, we didn't fly out till like 5 in the morning that following day. So 2 days later, pretty much.
Right.
So then they just took us back to the hotel. But they were like, "Yeah, this bear is going to take a while to freeze, because they'll skin everything."
Cool.
And then they'll chop, you know, they skin the, and then they throw the bear in coolers, and then they have the freezers there. So they're like, "We're going to try to freeze it overnight." And then they have a deal with the hotel that they can use their freezers there as well. So And they're like, and hopefully, you know, it's cool out enough to where when we travel, you throw it in there, you go on the plane, you're up in the higher altitudes, it should stay cool. You're flying back in, it's only like 50 degrees, 60 degrees. They're like, but when you get back, throw it in a freezer and don't take it out until you are ready to do what you're going to do with it.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So, I texted my mom and said, hey, clear space out for two bears in the freezer.
Change of plans.
And when I got home, I said, hi, hello, how are you? Ran downstairs, threw them in the freezer. And then, you know, we did what we had to do. My buddy's girlfriend picked him up at my house. And then I just went back to my house and took care of everything from there.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, I got all these photos and like the photos speak, but like these stories, the stories are just so much better.
Oh yeah.
And like,
oh gosh,
it was a blast. And like my buddy and I've been to two different outfitters, one for antelope and one for bear. And I think this was probably the better outfitter. Mm-hmm. The food was amazing. The cook there, her name was Deb. And she absolutely loved us. And like we got her number and I texted her for Christmas.
Aww.
And she absolutely loved it. She said we're her two boys from the States.
That's cool.
And like our guides want to come down here and shoot turkeys.
Hey.
Because they don't have the closest province to them that has turkeys is BC.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't know that. Because I asked them, I was like, you guys got turkeys up here? They're like, nope. They're like, it's too, I don't know. They said the environment isn't correct for them.
Yeah, it would be right for them.
So they're like, the closest province is BC. And I was like, shit, you boys got to come down to Ohio.
Yeah, come on down to Ohio.
Come shoot some turkeys.
We got turkeys down here, man. Oh, speaking of which.
I'm listening.
Speaking of which, I mean, keep this on the down, though. I don't want anyone else knowing. Yeah,
just me and you right here.
Just me and you. I saw a flock in the field that we hunt.
Okay.
Last week, I saw three fans already. Three fans.
I haven't seen any photos at my field at all with turkeys.
Wait, it gets better. It gets better.
There's more.
There's more. Hold on. Drive up the road a little bit. This is the field that we hunt. Mm-hmm. Drive up the road. Maybe, I'm not exaggerating, 500 yards. There's another flock with two fanning out there. Yeah. On the way home, I'm talking to my buddy, and he goes, hey, I think my dad wants you to come out and shoot guns sometime. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. We get kind of shooting back and forth. And I said, let's get him a turkey. Like, he goes, yeah, he's got a ton of them out here. And I'm like, oh, man.
You just hit the soft spot.
I think, yeah, you just, like, my leg's going right now. Yeah. I think it's going to be a good turkey. But here's the kicker, is that PA doesn't come in until Star Wars Day.
May 4th. That's late.
I know.
Ohio's, I think, North Zone is 2 weeks beforehand.
2 weeks before, then South Zone comes in.
The week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that some shit? So,
but see, the nice thing is, though, like, since you're Ohio and PA, you can shoot your bird in Ohio and then focus on PA.
Could.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's hope and dreams
I'm
is.
Deep frying.
How that works out.
That sounds so perfect, Joey.
That's the life right there.
I am going to go out opening day of archery and kill my buck first thing in the morning.
I mean, that's what we all say. And then we're 4 months in and we haven't seen a damn deer.
The beard's a foot long and I'm just really short with everybody.
And drinking. I was hunting good. Yeah. Did you see anything?
Went,
no.
Went fine. Let me eat my ramen noodles.
Let me drink my damn coffee.
Drink my whiskey and coffee all at once. It's so true. It's so true. But, well, awesome, man. So, all right. What was the name of the outfitter? One more time.
McKinnon and Co.
McKinnon and Co.
Yeah, it's...
Somebody wants to book this. What time should they call?
So, you can call anytime. I think they are... I got their letter in the mail recently. So they do a year-end book and a year-end like recap letter.
Okay.
And I ended up making their book for their outfitters. Sorry.
Cool.
And then they give you your like breakdown or your percentage wise. They said they are already booked for 24.
Okay.
And I think when I read the paper, they had 1 week available for 25.
Wow.
So you can type in McKinnon and Co. Outfitters on Google. You can type in huntmco.com on Google, or you can type in Bonnet Plume Outfitters. It's, they have multiple places. So they have the one in Alberta, and then they go up to, they go up north and do the Yukon.
Oh, sweet.
As well. So these guys will go from, they'll start in May. So the first week when we were there, and they'll do bears from the first week of May all the way to the first week in June. So about a month and a week.
Okay.
Then they'll take a break, and then they'll go up to the Yukon mid July or end of July and be up in the Yukon from, I want to say they said August to November.
Okay.
And then they come back.
Gotcha.
But when they're up in the, when they're up there, they do, you know, goats, they do moose, they do this. Yeah. And it's all done in on bush plane, but they have little campsites there, and the cook goes up too, and they've, I mean,
wow,
it's, I mean, they just don't do it, you know, they just don't do bear, they do everything. And but yeah, I mean, you can just go on Google and call them, and you know, let them know, like, if you're looking for a good bear, and the price wasn't all too expensive. Like,
yeah,
we were looking at other hunts in the States, and it's like, to hunt in the States, and I think me and you touched on this last, mm-hmm. it's getting up there. It, they're making insane. It harder for hunters to continue to explore the mm-hmm. outdoors in these other avenues.
It's and, insane.
But yeah, I mean, the hunt in general, like, I would have spent the same amount of money I did this hunt, plus shooting the extra bear, plus my mounts, going to Colorado on an elk hunt.
Yep.
Now, that granted, that's not included, like, the flight actually was included in that. So include that, the bear mounts. I mean, it's, you know, I'm still cheaper than an elk hunt.
So you want to book for 26?
Don't tease me with a good time.
Dude, I'm not joking.
I, my buddy Alex and I have talked about going back up there. And yeah. I told him, I said, I would go up there, and if I did shoot another one, because you get one with your tag purchase, so mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, you have to shoot one if you want. And I told him, I was like, if I do, I'd probably honestly get a rug or do a do another backpack mount,
yeah.
and just kind of do two on a wall.
Very
which
cool.
would be kind of cool. But we have definitely considered, and I told him, I said, if we go, I think we should get a group of our friends or a group of guys that we are close with,
yeah.
to make it, like, call them and say, like, listen, we got 10 guys coming. We just want the lodge, the whole lodge, the week to ourselves.
Yeah.
Make it possible.
Well, and you call enough in advance, well, yeah, and tell them, like, exactly. hey, this and, is what we want
to
do.
But, you know, yeah. you have to pick your week. They mm-hmm. tell you the first week, if you're looking for beautiful bears, that's the first week.
Yeah.
If you're looking for big bears, that's the third. That's the fourth or last
later
week
in the season, okay.
because they're going to be eating. They're yep. not out of they're out of hibernation now, but those bears are also the same one that are shedding their winter coats. They're, you know, fighting a little bit more, being scrappier.
How far was your shot, if you don't mind me asking?
For which one?
Either one.
First one was 15.
Really?
Second one was 20.
See, I'm looking at these recurves over here, and I'm thinking, man.
Yeah, they were 15 and 20 yards.
Okay.
And they'll put you in a position to where if they will make you feel comfortable. So if you can only shoot 10 yards, they'll put you in a tree stand that's 10 yards, and they'll put you with a bait pile in front of you that's 10 or 15 yards.
Yep.
And they want you to be successful.
Sure.
But like sure. I said, if you guys are looking for a good bear hunt, and you want to do it not in the States, because even the state bear hunt, I think we were going to go do one, and it was $1,000 cheaper. Mm. But it wasn't guaranteed a bear.
Yep.
So if you shot a bear, you had to spend an extra $1,000.
Okay.
Which equaled out to the same. It was same actually thing. Like $500 more. So we were like, why not just do the more expensive one up front?
Yeah. Where it's almost
guaranteed.
Yeah.
And like their percentages are in the 100 and some, like the teens to 120s.
Really?
Yeah.
Just showing you how many guys killed two up there.
Yeah.
Wow.
They said, I think one in every four or five hunter will kill two.
Wow.
And to think I was part of that. I'm, you were part I'm of that, that one
statistic. That's awesome, man. Wow. Well, dude, congratulations on the Bears. Congratulations, Pope and Young stuff. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to finish. I got to finish the paperwork for that. But I don't even have the Bears yet. The actually, right when I pulled into Colton's castle here, I got a text from the taxidermist, and he asked if I wanted to come Friday or Saturday.
Can I go?
It's out towards your neck of the woods ish kind
said
of
his name
Baker Larry.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
well, awesome, man. Have you listened to any of the latest podcasts lately?
I listened to Creed's.
Okay.
And then I didn't listen to Suits because I didn't know you did one with Suits. I saw Creed's pop up on my, and then I saw the one you did with Mike Grist.
Oh, Mike Grist is a good one. Yeah.
And then I saw the other one with the Archery guys.
The Push guys?
Yeah, the Push guys.
I did with Matt Zernzak.
Yeah.
One with David Darling from Kalamazoo Boatworks. Super dude. And I keep seeing all these listeners coming in from Kalamazoo. I wonder if it's him. I can see all the statistics, you know, they come through. But, well, the reason I ask is because lately I've been saying, instead of me saying, my name's Colton, this is the Hunt Story, and I end it, I asked the guest to say, my name's Joey, this is the Hunt Story. So if you want to wrap it up, you can.
Again, I thank Colton for inviting me over again. After this story, this is the last story I have until the next big great
adventure. We got turkey season coming up here, man. We got to have some stories.
But I'm going to be gone so much in Turkey, I don't know if I'm going to be here for it.
You're so popular right now because everybody wants
to. How about this? How about we go out west and do a Merriam hunt?
Say less.
We'll talk after.
But dude, I got so many hunts lined up. It's not even funny.
So I got hunts lined up in my mind. I just don't have hunts lined up on my calendar.
See, I'm the same way. Like the bank account's like, no. And then the wedding is like, no.
But the back of your mind is like, yes.
It's like, yes. You live.
Marriage. Man. Hunts. Yes.
I'm trying to talk Stephanie into a honeymoon.
I was going to say, you hinted with when we were just ad-libbing last time.
Right. Well, okay, so we're getting married August 30th.
Yeah.
Alligator season comes in September 1st.
In Florida or Louisiana?
It was Louisiana, yeah. So, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I'm just spitballing ideas here for a honeymoon. I'm sure she would love that. But
I mean, Louisiana's cool. You can, and then you get your.
I love New Orleans.
I mean, what, an alligator hunt's going to be probably, a couple of hours, if that?
If that. I mean, Christ, they take you out on an airboat and you pop one and it's like, all right.
And then you take it back and you get a pair of boots made.
Well, I was thinking of doing like the head mount thing, like the head mount coming out of the table or something like that. And then, yeah, just like you said, with the skin, saving that and then have an alligator meat. I mean, I don't need, where the hell am I going to put an alligator mount in here?
I can find a spot on the wall.
I mean, yeah, I guess we could.
I mean, you could.
I can't move the antelope.
You could put it right underneath the antelope.
If I get a little one.
Or I want, you know what one. You could do? I get a mic. Have the alligator's mouth be wide up enough and have the mic, the boom arm, come out of the alligator.
Come out of the, oh, it's for like my mic, you know, instead of a golden mic, I got an alligator mic.
Yeah.
I love the idea.
That's how you make your podcast more original.
We need to have a beer and discuss this. Okay. So you want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
What's the line again?
Yeah,
you just say. Can
you read me my line again? Yeah, cue card, sure. Please.
Okay, let's see. Scene 27. Joey Myers wraps up the scene saying, "My name is Joey, and this is the Hunt Story."
Alrighty, guys. Thank you again. My name is Joey, and this is the Hunt Story.
Awesome.